Good morning. Today's daf is Nun Zion here in Pesachim. We're at the end of the fourth parak of the Masechta. We're going to finish the fourth parak of Mirtzah Hashem. This morning we are here concluding the final Mishnah. This is a parak dedicated to Minhagim, which we spoke about various Minhagim that started amongst the Jewish people. So above Halacha, so certain communities took on certain Minhagim. Most of the Minhagim were Chumras, stringencies that they took upon themselves. And some communities took them on, some communities did not. But anyway, there are various Minhagim that started in certain communities. So in this discussion, finally we concluded yesterday with a Mishnah regarding Anshe Yericho, members of the city of Yericho. So they had a Minhag, and this is one of the first occasions in the Perek where the Minhag was to be Mekel. The Chachamim didn't love the Minhag, that's clear. The Chachamim didn't protest the Minhag, that's also clear. But the minhag was that they would work in the entire morning of the 14th. Yudal Nisan, which we learned in the beginning of the parak, some people have a minhag not to work the entire day, including the morning. There's a shita Beis Shammai, even the evening prior. But nevertheless, there was a minhag not to work in the morning. After Chatzos, there's Mamasha Halacha, you shouldn't be working on the afternoon of the 14th. Anyway, Anshe Yericho, so they had a minhag where they would be doing malacha the entire day, both morning and afternoon. And not just tamani malacha, but they would be fortifying their tree, supplementing their palm trees. But anyway, that's what Anshe Yericho did. Chachamim didn't love it. Chachamim didn't happen to protest that one. And then we talked about Anshe Yericho and their various minhagim that the Chachamim did not like. So the Mishnah listed six in total. So what we went through yesterday is a total of six minhagim Anshe Yericho did. Of three of them, the Chachamim were okay with it. They didn't love it, and three of them, the Chachamim mamish protested that one of the things that was under protest was nosnim peah liyarek. They would be giving peah of their yarek. So let's break this down. The mitzvah of peah is to give a corner of the field of produce, not all produce, but certain produce. Once something is designated as peah, so therefore it's going to be pater from chumos umaisros. The yerek, vegetables, is not subject to the peah obligation. So what they are doing, Anshe Yericho, is they're basically cornering off, literally cornering off a section of the field designated as peah. It really does not have the peah status to it. It really is not exempt from chumos and maestros. So there really are two problems. And by the way, you could see this in Rashi, both in the Mishnah and Rashi over here. But one problem is that now that this that this vegetables that were sectioned off as peah, so Anshe Yericho are of the belief, they really think that there's no obligation of chumas amaisos. Meanwhile, there are an obligation of chumas amaisos, and therefore what they're doing is they're eating tevel. Okay, tevel midirabanan, to be a little bit more accurate, it's vegetables, it's not chayv and chumas and maisos midiraisa, but still they are eating tevel. Additional to that also is that they are they are taking away from Kohanim and Levim, meaning by virtue of the fact now that they are designating it to be peah, unlawfully designated to be peah. So that means that whatever vegetables is in this particular corner, so the Kohanim and Levim are not going to be receiving the Trumas and Maestros from this particular peah. Okay, so when all said and done, what they're doing is patently wrong. And the Gemara over here is bothered. Venosin peah liyarek. So we are picking it up where we left off yesterday at the two dots. So Yericho are not holding by the following Mishnah, meaning the Gemara assumes right now that Anshe Yericho, they know something about halacha, right? Don't they know some basic baseline halacha? And so the Gemara is therefore bothered. So don't they know the following? It's one of the first Mishnahs in Peah. It's in the first Perek. So Klal Amur B'Peah, this is the general rule that they said regarding Peah. Kol Shehu Ochel, anything which is a food, v'nishmar, and it is guarded, v'gidulam and arts and grows from the ground, v'likutusu ka'achas, and it is harvested all at the same time, v'machnis alakiyon, and it lasts for some time, chay v'peya. So when you have those five conditions, and only those five conditions, do you have something which is chay v'peya. If you have any kind of produce whatsoever that does not match, meet all these five conditions, so then it's not going to be chay v'peya. So what are we excluding with any and all of these five conditions? The Gemara actually goes through each of the five. We start off with number one. So first of all, you need it to be food, which is already coming to exclude the various Thorns, not really sure what they are, but it's something inedible. The point is. And Vinishmar Prala Hefker. And it has to be something which is guarded, and that means that if it's Hefker, if it's left open and available for everybody, it's not going to be Chayiv in Peah. Vigidula Menaritz Pratla Kamehma Upitrios. And it has to grow from the ground, that comes to exclude mushrooms. Mushrooms are not growing from the ground. We've seen this idea come up time and again throughout Shas. Ula Kitas and Ka'achas Pratla Te'inim. Now, figs are going to be excluded because figs are not harvested all at the same time, but rather figs grow in a non-uniform manner, and so therefore, for this reason, it doesn't fit in this condition of Peah. And umachnis lekiyum pratli yarek, and the fact that it has some sort of shelf life, and it is not a total perishable, so that comes to exclude vegetables. Vegetables are therefore also going to be excluded as well. Okay, so what comes out over here now is that there are a number of conditions to meet in order to be subject to the eligibility of Peah, to be a candidate for Peah, and we just learned together the Mishnah in Peah. One of the first Mishnahs in Peah tells us that vegetables are not a candidate for Peah. So Anshe Yericho taking off a corner of their vegetable field and making it Peah, allowing it to be Peah, so that is patently against the Mishnah in Peah. We have what's called a problem, meaning we're assuming that Anshe Yericho is some familiarity with Torah and Halacha. So Amar Bin Amarav, Hacha Barashi Liftos Askinan. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll explain to you why it is over here. They think what they're doing is correct, and that is that they're talking about the leaves of the turnips. Umachnis Elikim Aideh Davar Acha Kemifelgi. And what the Chachamim and Anshei Yericho are arguing about is that it is machnas lekiyum. You could shelf it, but you just need another item that goes along with it. So ma'aser machnas lekiyum I did davar acher shmakiyum. So the Anshei Yericho are of the opinion that it is, you can be machnas lekiyum the leaves, albeit you put it together with the stalk, and that is now machnas lekiyum or ma'aser lo shmakiyum. And what the Chachamim will tell you is that no. Those who argue with Anshei Yericho say no. Machnas Lekiyum means that it in of itself has to be something which has some form of a shelf life. If it in of itself does not have a shelf life, so then it's not going to be subject to Peah. It's not a candidate for Peah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara now turns its attention to a Brice of Rishon Ayunos Nimpeah Lelefes Ulekruv. So originally, Anshe Yericho, so they would be giving Peah from Lefes and Kruv. So, right? So, right, Lefes we think is turnips, and Kruv generally is understood to be some form of cabbage. Rav Yossi Amar Af Lekaplas. Now, Rav Yossi says that also Kapla as well, another type of vegetable. V'tan Yirach, we have in another Brisa, you know, Peah of Lefes or Lekaplas. So, in the second Brisa, so the Tanakhama of the second Brisa says that Anshe Yericho would be giving from Lefes and Kaplut, okay, two vegetables, and Rabbi Shimon Amar Afla Kruv, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, even Kruv as well. Okay, now what comes out over here is that we have two Brises, and we think we have now three opinions. And generally speaking, the Gemara wants to try to the best of their ability to minimize the amount of Machlokas. But over here, it seems that we have three opinions over here, and that's exactly the Gemara's the Gemara wants to know. We are on the very top of the Zayin Amid Aleph, name of Tlasa Tarahi, Havu. So maybe over here, what we have really represented are three different opinions. We have the Tanakam of the first Brisa, that the Anshe Yericho would be giving Peah from turnips and cabbage. We have the Tanakam of the second Brisa, they would give Peah from turnips and this Kaplut. And we have Reb Yossi and Rebbe Shimon, and they seemingly are of the position that they would give Peah, they would leave Peah from all three of these vegetables. That's right now what we think. We think we have now three different opinions, and what the Gemara would like to try to do is consolidate, not have the three opinions, but have it just as two opinions. So the Gemara says immediately, Gemara says exactly that. Lo trei tanai havu. Now, really, the truth of the matter is that we have two opinions, v'tanakama de Rabbi Shimon, hainu de Rabbi Yossi. And what we could say is that the Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon is, in fact, Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama de Rabbi Yossi, Haina Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi is, in fact, Rabbi Shimon, Umay Af Akamaisa. And the Af is only going on the first item. That means to say that both of them are of the position that you're going to be giving two of the three. Now, it's true that they're debating what that second item is, but it's not that they are two variant opinions. They just happen to be of the position that it's going to be lefet and whatever that second one may be. But it's really two opinions. It's not three opinions. Okay, fine. The Gemara over there, very small victory, was able to consolidate so that instead of it being three machloksim, it's only a machlokus in going in two different directions. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we are going to quote a brisa, another brisa now, regarding payoff from vegetables. So ben bohayan nasam pele yerek. So this ben bohayan, that was his father, the name of his father. Anyway, so he gave payoff from vegetables. So we already know it's an act of tremendous controversy. Anshe Yericho did it. The Chachamim actually reprimanded, rebuked them for doing so. And again, the reason why is because vegetables are not eligible for payah. They're not candidates for payah. So va aviv amatzalaniim shayu tunim yerek, and his father came along, and he see now the poor walking off the field with the vegetables. The omdim al pesach hagina, and they're right at the entrance of the garden, and they're ready to go home. So amalem banai. So the father of Ben Bohayan, which is Bohayan himself, so the father, so he turns to the Anim and he says to him, Ashlichem Alechem Anim Osech Lachem Kiflayim Bim Usar. So he basically begs with the poor people and he says, look, take all the vegetables you just took from the field. So you return them to the field because, again, they're not candidates. They're not eligible for payout. He says, I'm going to give you twice as what you have already currently in your hand. Meaning, don't worry. I'm gonna make sure. And lo mimnei she'ini tzarat. It's not because I'm stingy, but rather lo mimnei she'amru chachamim einos nepeil yerek. It just happens to be that what my son's actions were wrong. Meaning, he thought that you should be able to take payah off the corner of a vegetable field, and vegetables are just simply not candidates for payah. So you put it back. I'll reimburse you. Not only will I reimburse you whatever you have, I'll give you two times that amount. The Gemara over here just has a small question on the dialogue. So lama lelamemelu mibnei she'ini tzara, mibnei she'ini tzara. And why is he saying to them that, look, I'm not stingy. In other words, if he's offering double, so he doesn't need to preface by saying I'm not trying to be stingy over here. So the Gemara says, yeah, but ki hechid lo lemru duchui kamazchilan. Now he has to explain to them why it is that he's going to offer them more, because otherwise, they think that he's just pulling their leg. He's just going to be involved in some sort of gimmick, some sort of scam. Meaning, basically, without the explanation, so they're thinking to themselves, "Do you want us to return everything that we just collected? Thank you, but no, thank you." So he's explaining, "No, the issue over here is a halachic issue. So he needs to explain it. Otherwise, why would they just willfully give back all the vegetables that they collected for themselves?" Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We are a little bit from the top of the Amud Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're going to go over practices in the Beis Hamikdash. Tanu Rabbanan Bishayin Hayu Menichim Oriz Kachim Belishkas Beis Haparva. So the hides of the Karban Olah. Hides of the Karban Olah are gifted to the Kohanim, right? It's one of the Matnas Kehuna. So as far as an Olah is concerned, the carbon itself, it's Kulo Nisraf. It's entirely burnt on the Mizbeach, hence the term Ola, works out well like that. But meanwhile, the hides of the carbon Ola, the carbon was flayed. After it was flayed, it was cut up and all the pieces were put up onto the Mizbeach, but the actual hide itself, so that was given to the Kohanim. Which Kohanim were given to? So it was given to whichever Kohanim were working that particular day in the Beis HaMikdash. So they would put it in the Beis Parva. That's one of the chambers off to the side in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, when we did Midos, we had a good good view of the entire area of the Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, la'erev hayu mechalkin osan la'anshei beisav, and that evening they would go ahead and allocate it to the anshei beisav, the people that working in the Beis Hamikdash on that particular day. Vayu bali zroos no limo sam bizroa. Now, unfortunately, what happened was that the Kohanim would fight over it, and the Kohanim that were stronger they would get the oros, and the Kohanim that were weaker they would not get the oros. And so basically, it wasn't much of a distribution. It was just a fight, and the strongest Kohanim won. and itkinishayu machalkim osam erev Shabbos erev Shabbos. So then what they would do is that they would collect the hides for the entire week, and at the end of the week, so they would give it to the entire mishmar. Now the entire mishmar would come, and there would be a better equitable distribution amongst the entire mishmar. Right? The entire system of Kohanim, it was broken up into 24 mishmaros. All the Kohanim were broken up into 24 mishmaros. And then when you came to the Beis HaMikdash on shifts of 1 week at a time, which basically meant that you work in the Beis HaMikdash 2 weeks out of the year. So for the week that you were there, so the mishmar was broken up into Batei Avos, six Batei Avos from Sunday through Friday. And then on Shabbos, all the members of the mishmar would come back and work together again. So the point is that now that the oros were collected for the end of the week and now distributed for the mishmar, so there's a better shot of more of an equitable distribution. So da'asikulim mishmaros v'shaklim ba'adadi v'adayin ha'yigadolei kuhuna notlin osa b'zroa. So, but still, Kohanim that were somewhat on a higher level, you're right, on a higher echelon, so they would take more of the aros. So amdu balim v'gishum l'shamayim. So basically, what the owners of the carbon did is that they were makdish the aros, meaning that they said that the aros now should belong to the Bet HaKabayis, and that way now it belongs to nobody. The Kohanim have no entitlement to it whatsoever. And now it's basically just going to be converted into funds for the Beis HaMikdash. Amru. Now, as a result of this, so that was basically more revenue for the Beis HaMikdash. Amru lo hayu yamim mu'atim ad shechipu es ha'echel kulo b'tavlo shel zahav. The entire Beis HaMikdash was covered with gold plating. Shayu ama lama b'ka'ovi diner zahav. It was an ama by an ama with an ama thickness. I'm sorry, with the thickness of a dinar. So the and on Yantip, what they would do is they would peel off the plating, al gav mala baharabais, and they would put it on one of the steps in the harabais. So and basically to show off to the Ola Regalim, right? This is not the first time in the Gemara that we see the Beis HaMikdash, so quote unquote, showing off to the Ola Regalim, right? The Lechem Apanim was one another occasion where they would take the entire Shulchan, bring it out, and show to the Ola Regalim the bread on the Shulchan. The bread was still piping hot. Anyway, so another occasion where they're able to show off the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Anyway, not exactly sure why the story is over here. But okay, we were treated to a story of what took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Tana, the Gemara quotes another brisa. This brisa over here is linked with the brisa that we just learned together, in terms of being mocked or certain things in the Beis HaMikdash in order to help prevent fighting and issues of tension amongst the Kohanim. Tana Abishal Lomer, Kor Shal Shikma Hayu B'Yericho. So the sycamore trees that were in Yericho, Ayubali Zroz, not Limosam Zroa. So what you had very strong people come and they would just simply take it. Amdu Balim, Vihigdishim Lishamayim. So along comes the owners and they were Makdish the trees. Okay. And by the way, going back to the Mishnah, so we saw that one of the results of that is that the debate in terms of whether or not the subsequent branches that grew, whether they have the status of Hekdish. Anyway, Aleim Va'akayot Zibahem. Regarding these people and anyone like these people, Amar Abishal ben Bittin, Mishum Abba Yosef ben Chanin, Oilomi Beis Baitus. Woe to the house of Baitus. So they were Kohanim. Oili me Alasan. And woe unto me because of the weapons that they have. So they were, unfortunately, we're talking about Kohanim who were extortionists. So they would have a weapon. Rashi describes it. It kind of sounds like a mace the way Rashi is describing it. Anyway, and these Kohanim, unfortunately, were total extortionists. Oily may base Chanin and other Kohanim who unfortunately also practiced in some form of extortion. So oily may base Chanin, oily Malachisha son. So the base Chanin were also seemingly a group of Kohanim, and they happened to be that they were. they were purveyors of Lashon Hara, spreaders of Lashon Hara. Oily mi beis kasros, oily mi kumosam. And the house of Kasros, the people of Kasros, again, presumably another group of Kohanim, so they used the pen. In other words, they sent out flyers, publications that also spoke poorly about other people. And right, if we can be a little bit anachronistic, they tweeted a little too much. Oyli me beis Yishmael ben pi achi, and woe to me of Yishmael ben pi achi. Not totally clear who he was, but anyway, the oyli me egrofam. And again, they were a bunch of extortionists. Literally, they used their fists. Shame Kohanim Gedolim. The Gemara points out over here that as far as these particular families that we just went through, Baisos, Chanin, Kasros, Yishmael, so they are, they took on the positions of Kohen Gadol. U'beneim Gizbarim, as far as the CFO of the Beis HaMikdash, so that they just handed over to the children. A lot of nepotism. V'chasneim Amarkalin, and as far as the son-in-law is concerned, they got the position of Amarkalin. Another version of a CFO back in the day. The avadeim choftim es am b'maklos, and their servants, so they would just simply beat people with sticks. So they wield the power and they abused the power that they had. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues now with more discussions regarding this last one we just mentioned. Yishmael ben Pi Achi Arba Tzvachos Tzavcha Azara. So the courtyard, so it cried out on four different occasions. Right, we are animating the court. We're animating the Beis HaMikdash. Probably over here, it's a reference to some form of a baskel. Anyway, but the courtyard let out a cry on four different occasions. Number one, Rishona Tzumikan B'nei Eli. So the Azara told the B'nei Eli to get out. The B'nei Eli. So the Navi describes in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel how they were inappropriate with women that came in and wanted to bring their karbanos after having given birth. Exactly what they did. So the pasuk speaks really poorly about what they did. And see Gemara in Shabbos, right around where we are, Nun Hey Nun Vav, somewhere thereabouts in Shabbos, where the Gemara there goes through a discussion of what exactly the B'nai Eli did. For our purposes right now, let's just simply say that they were inappropriate. Right, that covers it. As Shitimu Heichal Hashem, V'otzav Chas, second cry of the Azara, Tzei Mikan Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Ka'ai. So another Kohen that was censored was Yisachar, Shemechad Lesatzma Mechal Kashe Shemayim. So he would honor himself, but in doing so, he would also be Mechalel the Kadashim. Da'ava Kricha Debishirai Va'abed Avoda. What he would do is he would wrap up his hands before doing the Avoda, meaning he didn't want his hands to get dirty. So he would wrap them up. Va'otzav Chazara, a third cry of the Azara, Su Sha'amar Sheikhem. And so that Yishmael ben Pi Achi would be able to come in, and he happens to be a student of Pinchas, either physically a student of Pinchas, but that's unlikely, but more probably he was of the same philosophy of Pinchas. V'shamish b'kuhuna gadol, and he is allowed to be involved in the Kohen Gadol. Okay, and it's a little bit strange because we just described in the previous brisa, right, oily mi beis Yishmael ben Piachi. And so what we're going to have to say is that as far as the family of Yishmael ben Piachi, so they were extortionists and they were corrupt like we described in the previous brisa. Meanwhile, over here, we're actually discussing the father himself, the Yishmael ben Piachi. So as is clear over here in this brisa, so he was a tzaddik. V'otzavcha Zara, now we're up to the fourth one. Sushar Meshechem, Yikanis Yochanan ben Narba'ai, Tamishal Pinka'ai, V'yamalai Kresa Mikachei Shemayim. So a particular Kohen, it was singled out as being a particular tzaddik, he was allowed entrance in, encouraged to go ahead and eat the kachim. Now, not much detail in this brisa over here, in terms of why this fourth Kohen was encouraged to come in and why he was such a tzaddik. But the Gemara is going to explain. Amar Olav, this seemingly is a continuation of the Brisa. Amar Olav Yochanan ben Arbaisha Yochel Shosh Meos Agalim. So what he would do is he would be eating 300 calves, Veshos Veshosh Meos Garba Yayin, drinking 300 barrels of wine, Va'ochel arba'im sa'a gozlos bikinuch su'uda, and 40 sa'a of birds as a dessert. Amr kol yamav shal yocham ben arbailo nimsa nosar b'mikdash, and because of his voracious appetite, so there was never any nosar left in the Beis HaMikdash because he ate it all. Now, here's a couple of things of what you could say. On one hand, you could say that we're talking like in the Guzma. And you know the numbers. Anytime you see the number 300, or alternatively see the number 400, so that's hyperbole. The Gemara is just simply using that as a Guzma, and that's not exactly how much he ate. It just happens to be that he had a particularly good appetite, and so that no nosar was left over. So that's one way you could say it. Or another way you could say it is that the numbers over here are specific, and we're not just describing him, but we're describing him and his family. Either way, the point is that there was no nosar during his day. The Gemara described as one of the cries of the Azara was in opposition to this Yisachar from Barkai. He would do the avoda, but he would make sure to wear gloves while doing the avoda because he did not want his hands to be busy with the touching the blood and getting dirty. So he wore gloves. And the Gemara says that was terrible. Terrible for one of two reasons. So you take a look at Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud. Krich yadei b'shirai, Rashi three lines in the bottom. So Rashi writes, v'chatzisa posels b'kachim. Debi'inim v'lakacha kohen shi'ikach ba'atzmo. So first of all, Rashi says that the gloves serve as a chatzisa. Right? You're wearing the gloves meanwhile your hands need to be actually on the knife, and presumably anytime you're doing a formal avoda, right, Kabbalah Saddam, Halacha, Zrika, so when you're doing an actual avoda, so your hands have to be making direct contact with the keli that you're being involved in. So number one, says Rashi, the gloves are chatzitza. V'od, Rashi also adds, the bizayon, who? It also shows a certain attitude, right? You don't want to get your hands dirty, you think it's disgusting, right? So that's a terrible attitude to have during the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's a bizayon. You're disgracing it in doing the avoda in that manner. Okay, so Rashi over here highlights two issues in terms of why wearing gloves is such an affront to doing the avoda for a kohen. So now Amre, we are now in the Gemara. Let me go back a little bit. So my saga baby Yisachar ish kfar barkai. So the Gemara basically says, like, what happened to him? Meaning, so what he did was horrible. And were we able to see the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the schar v'onesh, in this world? So the Gemara says, yeah, absolutely. And the Gemara says, Amri, they say over the following, Malka Malkas Abba Yasvei. So there was a king and there was a queen. Rashi over here writes, they were from Beis Chashmonai. So obviously now we are well into the second Beis HaMikdash. And so this particular kohen was serving during Bayis Sheni. And so there was a king and this queen, and Malka Amar Gidiyai. Now the king said that that goat meat is better than lamb's meat. Umakas Amra Imra Yai. And the queen was saying that lamb's meat is better, the lamb chops are better. Amru Manmuchach. So they said, look, we have this really all important debate in terms of whether goat meat is better or lamb meat is better. So Kohen Gadol de Kamasi Karbanis Kol Yuma Asayu. So they said, let's ask the Kohen Gadol. Now, of course, right, hopefully at this point in time, you realize that all this is rather absurd and ridiculous. And the idea that they're having such a, right, unimportant debate, and they're having a Kohen Gadol coming in and quote unquote poskening on this matter. So it's an absurdity. And right, even before we get to the point that the Gemara wants to make, we could just simply acknowledge that the Beis Chashmonai, you see this in the Ramban, in his Perush on Chumash and Breishis and Parshas Vayechi. But the Beis Chashmonai were people who were on one hand heroes, but then historically, right, took the position of rulership of king, and they shouldn't have done so. And you can see over here, as the Gemara is not even so matter-of-factly chastising, reprimanding the Kohanim for taking this position and really making a bit of a mockery of the position. Anyway, so they bring in the Kohen Gadol, this particular Kohen Gadol, meaning that this Kohen Gadol who was involved in doing the avoda but made sure to wear gloves, so he had his own issues. So they brought him in order to answer this really important question of what's better, is it goat meat or lamb meat? And Achvi Biadeh. Now we turn to the top of the next Amud. And so what does he do? So a wave of the hand. Ach v'biyadei. And in igaji yasik l'tmida. And so not only did he gesture with them, basically, right, he dismissed them with his hand. So not only did he do that, but then he said, look, if you really think the goat meat's better, so we would bring it up as a carbon tamid every day. We don't bring it up as a carbon tamid every day. We bring a lamb up as a carbon tamid every day. So Amar Malchus of the king said, ho avalo havale emsa de machusa. So look, we got an answer, but he gestured at us, and clearly it was a disrespectful way to speak to the king. So nistikali liyamine. So needless to say, what we should do is we should cut off his hand. We should cut off his right hand. And Yaiv Shokhru Paschal Ismale. So before the Kohen Gadol got his hand cut off, so he gave a bit of a bribe. So instead of having his right hand cut off, he wanted his left hand cut off. Now, I'd say so that he could still do the Avoda, although that's really difficult, because even with the absence of his left hand, and even though he has his right hand, which is the one you do your Avoda with, but he's still a Baal Mum. Okay, but anyway, but he wanted, given the choice, he wanted to retain his right hand, so he bribed the executioner, the punisher over here, and he had his left hand cut off. So Shama Malka, so the king heard this, Upaske Liyamine, and he cut off his right hand as well. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now giving commentary to this episode. Rav Yosef obviously living hundreds of years later, but he now is giving commentary to the episode, and he says, Bruch Rechmana, Da Ashkali Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkai, Le Mitraf Se Mine Bahai Alma. And basically what Rav Yossi said is Baruch Hashem. So his owners came in this world. So for the fact that he was being mevazeh in the kachim, by doing the avoda with gloves on, so Rav Yosef says, but at least Baruch Hashem, he got punished in this world, and that's going to take away the onish, some of the onish in the Olam Haba. Am Rav Ashi Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkai Lo Tana Masnisin. So Rav Ashi says that as far as Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkai is concerned, so presumably he didn't know Mishnayos. Meaning that when answering the question of the king and the queen in terms of what's better, is it goat or is it lamb? So he just made an observation. In other words, in the base of Mikdash, you know, the carbon tamid was being offered daily from the lambs and not from goats. Meanwhile, he didn't quote a source, and the Gemara is now noting he didn't quote a source. Okay, the Kohanim Gedolim during the Beis Sheni, so they were not learned, they were not tamid chachamim. Something we already know from the Mishnayos in Yuma. The Mishnayos in Yuma describing the sequestering of the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom Kippur. For 7 days he was sequestered in. And over there, a description of if he can't read, so then what you do is you have people reading to him if he can't read. Talking about illiterate Kohen Gadols. Right? Rather amazing. But okay, this is Bayit Sheni. And this is what Kohen Gadol looked like during Bayit Sheni. And over here now the Gemara is noting that he can't even quote a Mishnah. Now, admittedly, the Mishnah over here happens to be in Croesus, and so, quote unquote, not a popular Mishnah, but not a popular Mishnah for us. Right back in the day, for those who were knowledgeable about Mishnayos, I'd venture a guess, they knew their Mishnayos in Croesus. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kvasim Kodmim, Le'izim B'chol Makom, you put the lamb before the goat under all circumstances, right? The Mishnayos over there in Croesus, it wasn't that long ago we did those Mishnayos, talked about Kedima, talked about what should go in front of what. So Yachum Mimnashim of Rachamim Biminam. So you might think because there's some sort of superiority to the lamb of the goat. So Tamalam Ravim Kevas Yavi Karbano. So it happens to be that the Psukim in describing the Karbano say, look, if you want to bring a lamb, Malam is Shishnaim Shkulun Keechad. So the truth of the matter is that in terms of quality, so lambs and goats are equal with one another. And so what the Mishnah is now telling us is that even though from a Kedima standpoint, you're putting the lamb in front of the goat, but in terms of quality, so the truth of the matter is that they're really the same with one another. So Ravina Amar Afilu Mikra Nami Lo Kra. So, and Ravina says, look, he's not even, this Kohen Gadol Yisachar is not even holding by Psukim. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Im Kevis Vi Im Eiz. Either you bring a sheep or you bring a goat. So, Ibai Kevis Lacy, Ibai Eiz Lacy. If you want, you can bring a goat. If you want, you can bring a sheep. They really are, from a quality standpoint, from a qualitative standpoint, they're really equivalent one with the other. And so as a result of that, this Yisachar, who was unfamiliar with Mishnayos, unfamiliar with Psukim. Okay, so the Gemara used it as an opportunity to talk about the really lack of quality that we have amongst the Kohanim during this period of time, during the Bayit Sheni. Okay, really interesting Tosfos that ends off our parak. You go back to the Amud Aleph. You can see the Tosfos over here in terms of this idea that this Yisachar wore gloves and it would serve as a chatzitza. So the im tamar. So Tosfos writes over here on the Amud Aleph, right? Tosfos, it's the last Tosfos on the Perek. The im tamar, four lines down in the Tosfos. Second Tosfos on the Amud. The im tamar v'hagabi lulav lo amrin and hachi beperek lulav agazol. Gabi lo linkosh in lulav v'sudra. Rav amar lekicha ide davar cheshma lekicha. So it sounds like over there that if I'm picking up my lulav and I'm doing so, I davar acher. Basically, there's something between my hands and the lulav. So according to Rava, that would be fine. So over here, the gloves are a chatzitza. Over there, it's fine. So v'tir it's ri. The asamari ba'och is a lulav ayide sudar. Kein seves kigon shekarach a lulav besudar. Va'och is besudar shasudar misayol lachziko. V'chi agav no lav yichitzitza. So the ri gives an interesting answer, and he says that, look, when you are using an item to help facilitate the picking up of the lulav, so basically it's servicing the lulav, right? Kind of like the holders that we use, right? The standard holders that are pretty much commonplace amongst the holding of the dalaminim. So the koshalach. So the Ri is saying that if it's servicing the and facilitating and aiding the dalaminim, so under those circumstances, it's not a chatzitza. It also happens to be that by our holders, the holders are also mino, meaning it's made out of lulav. So for another reason, it's not a chatzitza. But anyway, but the Tosu says v'chei mashma v'ayishmaita that ba'achi mari da'ak amar hasam lo lahadik inish lulave ba'ushana dilma nitri tarfe v'avik chatzitza ravar min b'mino nechotz it's mashma d'b'sheino mino chotz it's v'anim b'shum da'hi avik ke'ein d'shmaiten dekarach yadav b'shirai d'chi nami d'chei agav neshech chatzitza. Right, the adik in the Gemara over there in Sukkah, if you go ahead and you clip the lula from the bottom, what you're going to have is you're going to have all these extra lulavim that are not attached, and they're going to be a chatzitza. Yeah, Tosfos says that's right, because over there it's not facilitating the holding of the lulav. So when the holder or whatever you're wrapping the lulav is facilitating the holding, that's not a chatzitza. But if it's not there to facilitate, so then it's going to be a chatzitza. Over here, the gloves that are worn, so it's not facilitating the holding. Or it's just simply there so that your hands don't get dirty, so that's going to be a chatzitza. That's Tosfos noting the difference, the seeming difference between our Gemara over here regarding the gloves of Yisachar, Kohen Gadol, and that of the mitzvah of lulav, where the wrapping of the lulav is not going to be a chatzitza. And basically, what is it servicing? Is it servicing the mitzvah, or is it servicing the person? So that's the difference between the two Gemaras. Okay, Hadron. Hadron alach makom shenagu. That is the end of the fourth parak. Tomorrow, Mirtzah Hashem. So we begin with the fifth parak. What happened to the Amud Beis over here? So it made its way into the printing of the Gemara. Is that this is going to be a summary. These two columns over here are a summary of the Karban Pesach, exactly how the mitzvah of Karban Pesach works with all the details. Now, it happens to be that we're not ready for a summary yet, as we're about to start tomorrow morning in Mirtzah Hashem, the fifth parak, which is going to be our entree into the world of Karban Pesach. And for the next five parakim, 5 through 9, so we're going to be talking about the Karban Pesach. We're really going to transition into Kachim. Well, that's coming up tomorrow, Mirtzah Hashem. Let's quickly recap our daf today. So our daf today, short daf, started off with a discussion regarding sectioning off a part of the vegetable field as peah. Anshei Yericho did it, and the Gemara says it's patently wrong. Right? It's not eligible. Vegetables are not a candidate for peah. And so what Anshei Yericho did was flatly wrong. They shouldn't have done it. And the Chachamim reprimanded them for doing so. They had some sort of argument the Gemara tried to construct in terms of what they were thinking, but the Gemara's conclusion is that it wasn't right. And then the Gemara told other stories regarding other people are also being sectioning off part of their vegetable field for peah. We discussed the Ben Bohayon who did that, and his father interceded. The father told the poor people as they were walking off the field with the vegetables which they thought they were entitled to. So the father said, "Do me a favor, right? Put them back, and I'll replace you with produce that was already tithed but the father knew that what his son did was patently wrong. And from there, we went through stories, right? The rest of today's daf, stories of the Beis Hamikdash, stories of various Kohanim. Most of the stories we told about were Kohanim that were not exactly of the highest caliber, right? I'm being nice. And various Kohen Gadol that served during the second base of Mikdash that were not Talmid HaChachamim and conducting themselves in a really inappropriate manner. And we finished off our daf today discussing this Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai, who served as Kohen Gadol, and he served with gloves on, and what exactly happened to him, what was the Schar V'Onish that he experienced while in this world.